first reading is Psalm 23, which can be found on page 555 of the Church Bibles. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Anne. And now Mark has our second reading this morning. Thank you, Mark.
Today's second reading is John chapter 10, verses 11 to 21. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Do you recognize this? Ah. Now, why have I brought it along? Thank you, Claire. Because last week, Claire was talking to us about Jesus as the gate. And she brought this sheep pen along.
Okay.
Thank you. Even bought some sheep. Oh no, that's a wolf, sorry. I didn't recognize him. You know, the wolf is like the devil. And often we don't recognize the devil because he dresses up in sheep's clothing. Oh, that was an inspiration from the Holy Spirit. I hadn't thought about that. So there is the sheep going in through the gate. Now, why is it important that we have this here today? Well, it's just to show that we shouldn't take an isolated passage out of its context. So today we are following on from what Claire preached on last week. This whole chapter 10 in the Gospel of John is about sheep and the shepherd. So before I begin, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word encourages us. We thank you that your word feeds us. And we pray, Lord, that this morning we will be challenged, encouraged, fed, by your word, for your glory. Amen. He's mad. He's crazy. He's lost it. He's demon-possessed. Who are you talking about? But that Jesus of Nazareth. We all know that nothing good comes out of Nazareth. And Jesus, he's just talked about being a shepherd. We all know that he isn't a shepherd. He's a carpenter. Why listen to him? He's mad. Oh, but these aren't the words of someone demon-possessed. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? As usual, Jesus' words invite speculation and bring division. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Well, all of chapter 9 in John's Gospel is about the story of Jesus who brought sight to the man blind from birth. So the people who are questioning him know that Jesus was capable of doing this. Immediately after the passage that we read this morning, the Pharisees are continually going to ask Jesus who he is. Speak plainly. Speak plainly. But Jesus had already been engaged with the Pharisees in chapter 9 when speaking about the blind man. Some of the Pharisees said then, but this man isn't from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others said, how can a sinner do such miraculous signs? The signs, the works that Jesus did, testified to who he was, showed us plainly who he was and who he is today. So tell us plainly, and this is why we're in this series this week on Who Are You, Lord? And in this series we are seeking to know more about our Lord. And where can we find out more about Jesus? Obviously, in reading the scriptures. In John chapter 5, Jesus had again been speaking to the Pharisees, and he said, you diligently search the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. They were searching diligently, but they thought their own thoughts. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. The Pharisees were apparently seeking the truth in their study of the scriptures, but their legalistic convictions prevented them from seeing Jesus as the Messiah prophesied in the Old Testament. They weren't willing to have their ideas challenged. But what about me? Oh, there's that bit in chapter 10, chapter 12, I don't believe that bit. Or in chapter 14, I can't accept that. The Pharisees refused to go to Jesus to have life. And the last verse in Claire's sermon last week, John 10, chapter 10, Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Lord, help us to leave our prejudices and false ideas apart. Reveal yourself to us today in a new way. Who are you, Lord? I am. I am. And we immediately think of Moses in front of the burning bush, where God the Father reveals himself as the Eternal One. I am the one who was, who is, and who is to come. So I am the Eternal. I am the Good Shepherd. And even though Jesus wasn't a shepherd, even though the Pharisees weren't shepherds, and in fact the Pharisees looked down on shepherds, it was an unclean profession, they were all familiar with Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, the one who was leading them, feeding them, defending them, reassuring them, blessing them, loving them. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. No, this was no ordinary shepherd in Psalm 23, no ordinary shepherd in John 10, no ordinary shepherd, but the good shepherd, the Lord himself. And Jesus, the good shepherd, is more than someone who feeds, who leads. He's more than someone who shows us the way to go. He's more than someone who blesses us. He's more than someone who sustains life. Jesus is the author of life. Jesus is the author of eternal life. Jesus is the author of abundant life. And the essence of the gospel is not what Jesus will do for me now, in my life now, however marvelous that is, but what he has already done for me on the cross. On the cross, where he laid down his life. And in the 10 verses that we are studying this morning, 4 times we find this phrase in Jesus' mouth, I lay down my life. It is echoed again throughout all the passage. And in this passage, which is about life, it is also about relationships. We see the relationship between the hired hands and the sheep, the relationship between Jesus and his Father. We see the relationship between the shepherd and his sheep. What about these hired hands? The text tells us that when they see the wolf coming, what do? They flee. They run for their lives. And what happens? The wolf comes in and scatters the sheep. But the hired hand doesn't care. He doesn't own them. He doesn't know them. The sheep don't belong to him. It's just a job. Some hired hands might risk danger for their sheep, but expect it to come through alive. But Jesus, the good shepherd, chose to die. The hirelings were like the false or bad shepherds who provoked God's anger in the book of Ezekiel. Priests doing the job just for perks. And the sheep were scattered because they had no good shepherd. We know that the devil's purpose is to come to steal and to destroy and to divide. The devil's purpose is to divide and to scatter us abroad. The devil wants to keep us in isolation, because when we are isolated, we are more vulnerable. Jesus, the good shepherd, he wasn't in it for what he could get out of his position, but because of what he would give, choosing to give, to lay down his life for his sheep. He laid down his life on the cross, and this was his last struggle with the enemy, the thief who spreads darkness, disorder, division through the enemy's servants, the false shepherd, the hirelings. And on that cross where he laid down his life, he achieved victory. And on the cross, in his death, the shepherd became the lamb. The immaculate sacrifice. The Jews, when they went to the temple, they sacrificed immaculate creatures to receive forgiveness from their sins. And John had already recognized Jesus. In chapter 1, he says, "Behold the Lamb." And what does this Lamb do? "Behold the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world." It was in laying down his life that Jesus carried away the sins of the world. And in dying, he became the gate through which everyone must pass to enter the kingdom of heaven. And his death is the only way into the kingdom of heaven. In this passage, we also read about intimacy. And intimacy is something that we crave more and more in this day and age. "I know my sheep. My sheep know me." It's reciprocal. Jesus isn't just someone who knows everything about me. But the Holy Spirit helps me to know Jesus. "My sheep know me just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father." Can you imagine the communion? Can you imagine how Jesus knows the Father? And this is given to us. We can know Jesus just as he knows the Father. And this intimate knowing between shepherd and sheep is rooted and modeled after the union between the Father and the Son. Knowing the shepherd is appreciating the depths of his love. It's not knowing about someone. It's about being known. Could I have the photos? There are a few sheep there. Can we see another one? The same sheep, they're all bundled together. And look at those, quite squashed together. The shepherd knows every one of them by their name. He knows which one is tired. He knows which one needs to be carried over a ditch. He knows which one had been infested with ticks and he wants to go and get them off. He knows everything about them. And the sheep know him and recognize his voice and follow him. I can't see Sylvia. She's run off again. She always thinks the grass is greener on the other side. The thief, the devil, the wolf is waiting for her. He's waiting for her where she's vulnerable, where she can believe his lies. Look at all those sheep. There's just one missing. My precious, disobedient Sylvia. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? We all know the answer because we've all read the story. The shepherd will leave 99 sheep just to go after the one that is lost to bring him home. And in my case, he didn't do it just once. He's got his work cut out with me. And when he comes looking for me, what does he? He has his rod and he has his staff. And when I was little, I was taught that the rod was to beat the disobedient sheep. But no, the rod is his weapon against the wolf. The rod is to beat the enemy. And his staff, that shepherd's crook, is there to scoop me out of the hole where I've fallen, to bring me back, to put me on my feet. And oh, the joy in the shepherd's heart when he carries me home. And the joy when I get back into the fold and say, oh, yes, Jesus, I won't go away again. You know everything about me, and you love me in spite of who I am. You love me so much that you gave your life for me so that I might live. But there are other sheep that aren't in this sheep pen. I must bring them also. Jesus is driven by a purpose to bring others to him. Now, who are these others? For the Jews, it was obviously the Gentiles, people who weren't of their race. But we know that Jesus wants to bring everyone to him. They too will listen to my voice. Verse 27 tells us that my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Here we find obedience. I hear Jesus speaking to me. I recognize his voice. But do I always listen? Do I always obey? If I'm like the Pharisees, I can obey the laws and be afraid of God's anger if I don't get things right. I can be like a slave, afraid of his master's anger if every task isn't perfect. But if I listen to the Good Shepherd's voice, I will obey, not out of fear, but out of trust, out of love, following his example in obeying his Father. But who are the other sheep in our day and age? What about the sheep in the other churches? In that church over there, where the smells and where there are smells and bells, the one in that direction where they're all happy clappy, they're not the same. One flock. The sheep pen speaks about the actual physical place where the lambs will be. But the flock is speaking about all the lambs who will be gathered together, wherever they are from, whatever they look like. It doesn't matter the way they behave, the way they worship. One flock, because there is one shepherd, one father, one lamb who laid down his life for them all. One church in unity, but not in uniformity. One family. I spoke earlier about my family, 4 children, 12 grandchildren, and there are only 5 years between our 4 children, and when they were teenagers, a day didn't go by without some horrible squabble, raised voices, pointed fingers, and sometimes a slap round the face. Does that mean that they were excluded? One family. You can't do anything about it. You can choose your friends. You can't choose your family. And underneath it all, there is still the love that binds us all together. I would really want to encourage everyone to look at the people we know who go to different churches, who worship in different ways, who belong to different denominations, and who have a theology that sometimes we can't get our head around. And remember that they are part of our family, God's family, the Good Shepherd's family. Come to verse 17. Jesus says, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life. Ah, does that mean that if Jesus hadn't laid down his life, the Father wouldn't have loved him? No, the Father's love is unconditional. But there is a special intimacy and a special love that comes out of obedience. I lay down my life. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord in obedience to the Father. But a personal choice, voluntary obedience. And Jesus says, I have the authority to lay my life down, and also the power and the authority to take it up again in the resurrection. Why listen to all this drivel? Why listen to him? He's mad. He's crazy. He's demon-possessed. Why listen? In Matthew chapter 7, we read this: Jesus spoke with authority and not as the scribes and Pharisees. So this morning, let us listen to him, not to the lies of the enemy who comes to steal, to divide, to isolate. The enemy is the father of lies, the deceiver, stealing our eternal hope with his lies. But let us listen to Jesus, the Good Shepherd, as he says, come to me, all who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me if you are craving intimacy with God. Come to me to be loved, led, nurtured. Come to me to receive eternal life, my life laid down for you. Come to me. I am the only way to eternal life. And as Claire said last week,
go through the gate.
Go through the gate. Amen.